I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 4, first of all. Luke chapter 4, so that's page 1225 in the Bibles you have. Luke chapter 4, and reading from verse 14. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a rumour went out into the whole surrounding country about him, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he was brought up, and he entered, according to his custom, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And having unrolled the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to preach to captives deliverance, and to the blind sight, to send forth the crushed delivered, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And having rolled up the book, when he had delivered it up to the attendant, he sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." And all bore witness to him, and wondered at the words of grace which were coming out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this the son of Joseph?" And he said to them, "You will surely say to me this parable, 'Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard has taken place in Capernaum, do here also in thine own country.'" And he said, "Verily I say to you, that no prophet is acceptable in his own country. But of a truth, I say to you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, so that a great famine came upon all the land, and to none of them was Elias sent, but to Sarepta of Sidonia, to a woman that was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but Naaman the Syrian. And they were all filled with rage in the synagogue, hearing these things. And rising up, they cast him forth out of the city and led him up to the brow of the mountain upon which their city was built, so that they might throw him down the precipice. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way and descended to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on Sabbaths. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with authority." Amen. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us this reading from his word. And I want to turn shortly, not just right now, to the passage from which Jesus was reading. So we have Jesus having been in the wilderness, having been tempted of the devil, led by the Holy Spirit, for those 40 days of fasting, and then he was tempted of the devil, and we know the story, I'm sure. If you want to, you can read it at your leisure. And following that time of temptation, we read that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Now, Jesus said, during his lifetime, during his earthly ministry, that you would do greater things than these, because Jesus was going to send the Spirit, the Comforter. He said, "I will send the Comforter." You can read about that in John's Gospel. And the wonderful thing about the Christian faith is that our faith is a personal faith. It's a faith about the man who is God, Jesus Christ, who came into this world incarnate, as we say. He took on human flesh. He became a man. And his mission on earth. He stated in chapter 19 of Luke's Gospel that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. This was the mission of Jesus. And how was he to do that? How was he to save that which was lost? He was to do so by going to the cross, by being nailed to the cross. And some of you have seen, and they've portrayed films of the life of Christ. And personally, I would rather not watch a film of the life of Jesus, because we don't know what he actually looked like, for one thing. Anyone who's an actor is merely portraying how they interpret what Jesus must have been. But in these films and portrayals, you will often see a very graphic portrayal of the cross. But think of what the Bible teaches us. Think of how it's described. In all four Gospels, we have a graphic account of the crucifixion. That Jesus died upon the cross. His hands and his feet were nailed to the cross. And our mission here tonight is described actually in the New Testament, where the Apostle Paul said, "We preach Christ and him crucified." This is the message, the good news of the gospel. And when Jesus began his ministry, he was fully God, he was fully man. He, as it were, laid aside his majesty. He didn't lay aside his deity. He was and is God, and he was God manifest in the flesh. But Jesus, in the flesh, he had the anointing, he had the power of the Holy Spirit upon him, so that when he began his ministry, there was a power that was, if you like, superhuman, because Jesus was able to heal. Jesus himself described his mission when he quoted from the prophet Isaiah. And if we turn, and you may like to turn to Isaiah chapter 62, it's page 901. Isaiah chapter 62. I'm sorry, this is chapter 61. It's page 900, I should say. It's Isaiah 61 and verse 1. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord Jehovah is upon me, because Jehovah hath anointed me to announce glad tidings unto the meek." Now let's pause there for a moment. This was Isaiah the prophet, hundreds of years before Jesus came onto the earth. And yet, we know that these words were talking about the Lord Jesus. And Jesus himself could attest that it was fulfilled as he began his ministry. And there he was in that synagogue, had the Spirit of God come upon him, began his ministry. And this is so evident from verse 1 of Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord Jehovah is upon me, because Jehovah hath anointed me to announce glad tidings." In the olden days, kings were anointed. Oil would be poured onto their head. It was a ceremony whereby the one who was appointed as king was anointed. He was being recognized, just for example, as King David, anointed by Samuel as king. Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, was anointed by the Spirit coming upon him, He had the power. He had the Spirit of God in full measure as no other man ever had. There were those in the Old Testament who had the Spirit of God upon them. We think of Elijah. We think of Elisha. We may even think of Moses, who talked with God face to face. And there was never a man in the Old Testament like Moses who spoke to God and talked with God face to face. And when he came down from the mountain, his face shone because he had been in the presence of God. And yet, the Lord Jesus was greater than Elijah, greater than Elisha, greater than Moses, the greatest prophet who ever lived. And he was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. This was the proof to the Jews that he was and he is the Son of God. And in Isaiah, it says, anointed me to announce glad tidings unto the meek. See, the proud cannot receive these glad tidings. Not until their hearts are humbled anyway. Because the glad tidings of the gospel, it's so simple that a little child can understand. A little child, and we have children here tonight, a child can receive Jesus. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them. Jesus welcomes the little children and those who are young tonight. If you haven't received Jesus into your life, you can do so tonight. Those who are older, no matter how old you are, no matter how long you have resisted or hardened your heart against God, it's not too late to humble yourself. To be meek is to humble ourselves. And this good news is for those who are willing to humble themselves, to become like a little child. So that, because Jesus said, of such is the kingdom of heaven. And in this prophecy, Jesus went on to say, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. You know, the world is full of brokenhearted people. And we ought not, those of us here tonight, we ought not just to be thinking of ourselves. And those who are among us, we do not know who is saved and who is not saved necessarily. Though if we belong to Jesus, we would make a confession of our faith, that we have trusted in Jesus as our own Saviour. As our brother Phil did earlier this year, confessed Jesus, that he had trusted Jesus as his own Saviour. And you can do so tonight. And those who are children, the children here tonight, you can ask Jesus to come into your life, as I did at the age of 6, as my mother led us in a prayer, and my brother and I received Jesus. I was 6 years of age, and I knew that I loved Jesus from that time. I can remember receiving my first Bible for Christmas that year, and the thrill that I had in my heart, it's different from the excitement you get over any other kind of Christmas present, because the Spirit of God, the same Spirit of God who anointed the Lord Jesus, will work within our hearts and within our lives. He will give us a love for Jesus. And it's my longing, and I think, I'm sure it is for many others who are here tonight, that we long to see young and old and all ages having a passion for Jesus. Because as the situation in the world becomes worse and worse, as the world plunges toward destruction, we will need Jesus if we're going to stand strong in the days ahead. We will need a faith that can hold us up when people all around us are sinking. We will need something other than relying on human flesh, because when we rely on ourselves, when we rely on our own resources, God can send destruction, God can send judgment. I believe he is sending judgment upon the world. He's giving us many warnings that the Western world that once knew the Christian faith has departed from that faith that once we upheld. This land of England was once known as the land of the book, but now it has despised the word of God. It has passed laws which are contrary to the word of God, without shame. And yet, men and women who despise God, men and women who are ashamed of Jesus Christ, there will come a day when every man, every woman will have to give an account of themselves to God. The Bible says that. We will all have to stand before God. And those who believe in Jesus, those who are not ashamed of Jesus Christ, he will own us on that day, that we were his disciples, that we trusted in him. And we cannot survive in this world, in the days that are coming upon the world, without the Spirit of God within us. And when we trust in Jesus, and when we turn from our sin, our wicked ways, the wickedness of our heart, the pride of our heart, all that is wrong, then we shall receive the Spirit of God to live within us. And we shall have the power and the strength to live a life that's pleasing to God. Yes, there are many who are brokenhearted in the world. There's no one they can really trust. Relationships have broken down. And life is empty without God. Jesus alone can fill that void. And for many of us here this evening, he has filled that void. Jesus dwells within our hearts. We love Jesus, and that's why we want to preach the gospel. We want others to know Jesus. And we can all do our part, to we who love the Lord, to bring others in, or to talk to them wherever they are. Wherever we meet people who are just like ourselves, we cannot put ourselves on a pedestal. We cannot assume that we are better than the world around us, because we are all sinners. And if we trusted Jesus, we're sinners saved by grace. So Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted. He came to proclaim liberty to the captives. Yes, he came to set the captives free. People think they are free, but actually they're enslaved. You and I were enslaved until Jesus set us free through trusted Jesus. In slavery to sin. And you can tell that. We have a whole generation that is addicted to the devices that we carry around with us. And that can be a form of slavery. If it becomes our master rather than being our servant. But Jesus came to set us free. He came, it says, an opening of the prison to them that are bound. We were prisoners, and some of the hymn writers have expressed it wonderfully. John Newton, in his hymn Amazing Grace, speaks of that liberation that came when he trusted, or when any of us trusted Jesus. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I see. And Charles Wesley, in his hymn, And Can It Be, he said, my chains fell off. And he describes graphically in his hymn how the captive is set free. And then it says, to proclaim the acceptable year of Jehovah and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. But Jesus, when he read these verses, he actually stopped at certain points where it said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He didn't go on to read the day of vengeance of our God, because that's yet future. But the acceptable year of Jehovah. And I want to close with this thought, that there's a verse in the New Testament that says, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And for each one of us, today, if we haven't trusted in the Lord Jesus, today is the day of salvation. Because there may never be another opportunity to receive Jesus. Possible to walk out of a meeting like this, and we could have an accident. One of our friends' children had an accident just a few days ago. Thankfully, just very minor injuries. We never know. Our times are in God's hands. And as we said earlier, it's appointed to man once to die. And we could die at any time, at any moment, without warning. And if we're not ready, we face an eternity without hope. Judgment, the awful judgment of God against sin. But when we believe, when we trust in the Lord Jesus, we can know that we have eternal life. And in hearing these words, if we're a believer tonight, we should be moved with compassion toward those who are not saved, because they're all around us. Wherever we go in our daily lives, we're encountering those who do not know God. The God of this world has blinded their eyes, as our eyes were blinded. And so if we know the Lord and if we love Jesus, it should be our desire to spread this message, to spread the good news, to ask God each day to give us an opportunity to share with someone who is not saved. We have many opportunities. How often we miss when the opportunity comes. And we need to pray perhaps more earnestly that God will lead us to people, and that he will give us the courage to be able to share with people that we meet about the love of God in Jesus Christ. The fact, and we quote this verse often from John chapter 3, verse 16, that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the message of the gospel. It's the message of a Christ who died on the cross. He didn't stay dead, he was buried. He rose triumphantly on the third day. Rose victoriously. Death could have no power over him. For he was and he is the Son of God. As the centurion said, truly this man was the Son of God. And we know he is the Son of God because he rose triumphantly from the dead. He's coming again. He's coming again. And that day could be very, very soon. May we be those who are ready. May we be those who are trusting in Jesus as our own Saviour. May we be ready to meet the Lord when he returns. whether we go through death, whether we're alive at his coming, may we be those who are ready to meet our Maker as our Saviour and our God. May the Lord bless his word to us this evening. Amen.
Amen.